morning. We're going to be reading from the book of Jude, which is on page 1231, page 1231 in the Church Bibles, starting at verse 1 until the end. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels, who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them, and to convict of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness, and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence, without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Robin. Good morning. Can I add my welcome to Luke's welcome earlier? If it's the first time here, whether you're online or here in the building, we welcome you in the powerful name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. As we turn to God's word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Master and God, please enable us not to just hear you, but also may our hearts be changed by your Spirit to the glory of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. So my name is Patrick. I'm, like Luke, one of the leaders here at Silver Street Community Church. You'll be pleased to know that we will not be looking at the whole of Jude for so many reasons, but we'll be concentrating on the last five verses of Jude. So, the last day of 2023. I wonder, did your plans work out for 2023? What are your New Year's resolutions? What do you plan for 2024? I am confident that the letter of Jude will help us, if you're a Christian here this morning, will help us have a right view and focus for 2024. You see, Jude is a letter written by the Apostle Jude to believers who were finding it really difficult to live out their Christian lives. It was really hard for them. Why? We'll find out with that in a minute. But we see why it was difficult for them to live out their Christian lives in verse 4. Read with me down to verse 4. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license of immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our only sovereign and Lord. So some of these Christians were discouraged in their lives. They were compromising their Christian lives. Their moral standard were in decline. This was happening amongst God's people. It's not happening about in people that were unbelievers, but this was happening right in the middle of God's people. Many people were sucked in into false teaching, false doctrines, and just false messages. It's a bit like Zambia, where I'm from. Zambia has loads of churches that sprung up. Isn't that right? There's loads of churches. The good thing about that is some of these churches are really faithful at teaching God's word. And so there's a lot of young people that are on fire for God's word, which is lovely and fantastic. But there are also churches that do not teach what's true. It's a bit like here in England. There's so many churches. Some teach the truth. Some don't. But the sort of leaders that we read about in Jude are not leaders that you and me would like to sit under. The sort of leaders that were there at the time that Jude wrote this can be seen in verse 12. Look with me in verse 12 there. These are people that have blemishes. They are blemishes at your feast. They are shepherds, elders, who feed only themselves. Clouds without rain. Clouds without rain are useless. You know when it's really hot in the summer, you want a bit of rain, isn't it? You see big clouds coming, but without rain, useless. They're described like that. That is spiritually dry. They have nothing to offer you. You come away from them with nothing after spending a little bit of time with them. They are fruitless, uprooted, it says. Twice dead. Twice dead, it says. Why? Because they have no spirit of God. Church family, Jude is writing when the first century Christians are almost all gone. And he's about to pass on the torch to a new generation of Christians. He says, look with me in verse 3. I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Are you, brothers and sisters, going to contend for the faith in 2024? Are you going to go along with the culture of today? Are you going to go on and follow all these people that say, oh, we must be inclusive, to be kind and loving, we must welcome everything and all ideas? Are you going to be like that, church family? I hope the answer is no. So, in a generation where we face doctrinal error, distorted messages, false messages, what are we to do? Where do we start? What do we do? The answer, church family, is in the last five verses that we'll be concentrating on this morning. The last five verses of Jude. Church family, we need to keep spiritually fit. What? That's a difficult one for me to say, isn't it? Spiritually fit. I'm sure you agree that our bodies need different parts to be exercised in different ways. I have heard that swimming, is that the word? Swimming, not that way. I've never been taught to swim. Swimming can exercise multiple parts of your bodies. I can't stand swimming, it's boring. I can swim, but I find it boring. So, Jude gives us a balanced exercise plan. Every part of our spiritual lives need to be exercised. Otherwise, it's no good. Not just one part, every part. So Jude gives us four exercises, spiritual exercises, to help us remain in truth for 2024. But before we take a look at those, I'd like to ask you a question. What kind of spiritual health are you in today, church family? How's your spiritual life? To help us with fitness, as a family, in lockdown, do you remember lockdown? We didn't do very much. We were all sitting around the house. I thought we need to do something. We did that guy that was doing stuff on the telly, but I decided we're going to do something outside. Do you know what we did? We started running as a family. Oh, I don't know how long it took. A few people dropped off. I kept going. And then others dropped off, and then there was just me left. I found running a nightmare. Pain for the chest, man. The first 10 minutes, I just wanted to give up. But I carried on going. Legs heavy. Dripping sweat everywhere. It's a good thing it was locked down. There wasn't many people around. But over time, I got fitter. The pain got less. I was even able to say hello to people on the streets. Before, people were like always in my way. You know, when you run and you're knackered, everything seems to be against you. But as I've got fitter, people were like smiling, and I would say hello in the middle of my 5K running. I have made progress. I am better than an average 5K runner. Please join me sometime. I think we all know when we're physically out of shape, physically unfit. But what does it look like to be spiritually out of shape, spiritually unfit? What does that look like? Let's look at some symptoms, ways that might give us an idea if you've got some issues with your spiritual health. Often, it's when you... We will come back to Jude, I promise. Often, it's when you hear people say things like, the work the Lord Jesus gave me or called me to do in my local church was once exciting, but now I'm not sure. I'm actually a little bit resentful. You might not say resentful, but in your explaining of the things that you have to do to church, it's pretty obvious you're resentful. I only pray with others. On my own, it never happens. I don't read the word, the Bible on my own. It's always just at church. Or when, Pastor Luke calls me in on a Tuesday evening. Then I'll read my Bible then. It does call you on a Tuesday because I see him. The preaching of God's word and worship is not what brings me the most joy and comfort. I am now looking at other things. I have lost gratitude. I am preoccupied with what I want and that which I haven't got. That which God hasn't given me is now preoccupying my mind. I am always grumbling and complaining and always see the negatives in people. Oh, I've lost my spiritual hunger and thirst. I don't even realize I'm not praying anymore. I can't remember when I last prayed on my own and read God's word. Two more. There's no compassion, no patience with others. They all seem to be a drain on my time. I am so frustrated with others. They're not making any progress. They are a burden. You might not put it that way, but there's just something there, some negativity in me. When problems come, the first thing I do is think, how can I sort this out? How can I put this right? Before, you'd run straight to the Lord. But now, in your head, you're waking up a strategy of how you can sort that thing out. Church family, if you begin to see any of what I've just described in your life, or more than one of the things I've described, then it's a good sign that you are either becoming spiritually unfit or you already are spiritually unfit. There's only one way to get this sorted, and that's to get on God's fitness program, God's fitness room. Jude is our coach, our 5K runner coach, and we're going to look at that now. But just before that, I must mention that God has called under shepherds who are called elders. Under shepherds are elders in local churches that God gives to his church. The elders or under shepherds are called to encourage believers in their walk. They're not to load things over their church family, but their job is to care for their church family. They're to feed the church family. They're to guide God's people. They're to love God's people. They're to pray for God's people. I am so grateful for the elders. This sounds ironic, I know. I am so grateful for the elders here at Silver Street Community Church. They are a prayerful group of brothers here. I'm telling you this because I've witnessed this. I mentioned Luke on Tuesday, but I know that Luke and Jonathan pray for you every week. So if you come here every week, I can guarantee that they pray for you every week. The church elders care for your souls because they will have to give an answer to the Lord. They are answerable to the Lord, but they genuinely love you, the elders at this church. One of the most difficult things for the under shepherds, do you know what one of the most difficult things is? Is running after wandering sheep. What running after people that have gone off? But let's come back to Jude. We'll pick that up another time, another day. So, the job of the under shepherds, as I said, is to care for the souls of his people. Church family, I think most of us have been to see a doctor or a dentist. My family went to see a dentist the other day, just for a checkup. I don't think there was anything wrong. I don't know about you whether you go and get yourself checked out or not. But I can almost guarantee that never. Well, I don't know how long I've been involved in leading as a church elder. I can't remember ever seeing someone that's come up to you and says, I just want to have a spiritual checkup with you. Nothing wrong, just a spiritual checkup. With nothing wrong, but just a checkup. Have you seen that, Luke? Someone just come, no reasons, nothing wrong, just a spiritual checkup. Very rarely. Oh, Jonathan's not there, so I can't ask the question. Did you ever have one, Mark? No, Mark was an elder. The elder's aim is to shepherd God's people, I just said. We are God's people, his flock, and God provides under shepherds. Please use them, even if there's nothing wrong. Imagine with me, you come to one of these elders one day and said, you feel spiritually dry. Spiritually numb, what do I need to do? This is what Jude was facing. That sort of scenario. Areas that can lead to these are a lack of prayer, a loss of hope, a loss of urgency in calling on the Lord with confidence, and a compromise in purity. Jude identifies all these. So we need to take these to God's fitness room, led by Jude. So, I hear you ask, how do we keep ourselves spiritually fit? Jude says, number one, verse 20. Look with me in verse 20. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Remember, Jude is talking to Christians. There may be times of doubt. What do you need to do when you doubt? You need to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Okay, but what does that mean, and how do I do that? You need to give thanks for your holy faith. One way Satan tries to attack us is to think we have little faith. Brothers and sisters, our faith is a gift from God. Your faith is not from you. Did you know that? Your faith is nothing to do with you. It's a gift from whom? God. Thank you. So give thanks for your most holy faith. Praise him for what he's done for you. Praise him for giving you that faith. Think about your faith. How it survived all its trials. It's only survived because of God, because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit working a miracle in you. He's done, this has to be ongoing. It's a bit like fitness, isn't it? It has to be ongoing, not just one day, not just in lockdown. You've got to keep it going because you're going to lose that fitness. Affirm your faith. So you give thanks for your holy faith, and you need to affirm your faith. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Affirm this when you're struggling. Feed your soul with the things that you know already. Exercise your faith. Put your faith in action. You know, like in the gym, you don't go to gym to like sit down and relax, isn't it? You've got to do something. You don't just sit there. Do something. Exercise your faith. When God allows trials in your life, he is calling you to exercise your faith. Don't just sit there. Do something. Feed your faith in the Lord Jesus. He is the author and creator of your faith, of my faith. Your faith can only grow through him. Looking to Jesus will make it grow. Looking to yourself will not make your faith grow. So, build yourself up in your most holy faith, and it said something else in it, and praying in the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that? And praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of the most difficult things, one of the most difficult verses Christians struggle with. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's going to go wacky now. I promise you I won't. I think most of us would say our prayer life is like a roller coaster. Irregular, endless, up and down, sometimes great, sometimes really difficult. This verse is encouraging because there is a desire to pray. Church family, we can know God by his Holy Spirit. We can only know God by his Holy Spirit. True prayer is directed to the Father through Jesus, God the Son. How do we come to God? You can only come to God through God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All our prayers to God are through the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Once you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. One of the things he does, the Holy Spirit, is to help us pray. He helps us to pray in our weaknesses. We see that in Romans 8:26. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. A few years ago, on our way to Zambia, we were delayed in Amsterdam for 26 hours. The airline instructed us to write in to be compensated. They says, don't worry. Go and spend whatever you need to spend to look after yourselves. We will pay you back. So, on our return, we wrote back asking for this compensation that we were promised. It took 8 months to hear back. 8 months. And to our surprise, the answer was no. No compensation at all. Until we directly wrote to the headquarters. They sorted it out, no bother, instantly, within 1 week, all sorted. Church family, our Almighty God comes to every believer by the Holy Spirit to help us. He directs our prayers. He teaches us to pray and responds to every prayer instantly. He hears us all the time. Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it's wait, and sometimes it's no. But he's the only headquarters. You haven't got to go anywhere else. You pray through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, through the one God. There's only one God. This is amazing. We have confidence to enter his holy presence, as John tells us. The reason we don't know much about praying in the Spirit is we've forgotten that we never pray alone. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, always with us. Okay, I hear you say, where do I start in practice then? Where do I start? My prayers are irregular. They feel endless. How do I pray in the Spirit? Church family, may I encourage you to soak yourselves up in the Spirit's prayers. There's loads in the Bible, especially in the book of Psalms. They are breathed out by God's Spirit himself, written by men, carried out by the Holy Spirit. As you fill your mind with God's word, you will find that you start thinking God's thoughts. If you can learn to pray from God's prayers themselves, using the Bible, you will learn to pray in the Spirit. I'll say that again. If you can learn to form your prayers with the Bible, you will learn to pray in the Spirit. You are then praying in a way that reflects God's mind. Keep a tight connection between your reading of the Bible and praying. You haven't got to pray the whole four chapters. Pick something up that you can pray through the day. For example, start using the reading plan that Luke has been telling us about. Use that to help your prayers. It will keep your prayers fresh. Pick up something from the Bible and run with it during the day. Maybe just one line. I am pretty sure the Lord will help you. Use the Lord's Prayer. Again, you'll be praying in the Spirit because you're praying God's very word. To keep your prayers fresh by using God's word is the best way forward. Align yourself with the Spirit's purpose. Then you'll be able to pray according to God's word in the Spirit. Church family, it's not trying to bring God into our world, but him bringing us into his world. So, to keep spiritually fit, build yourselves up in your most holy place. Number two, keep yourselves in God's love. Keep yourselves in God's love. We see that in verse 21. What does that mean? Does this mean I can fall out of God's love? Oh, church family, we must understand that God talks about his love in various ways. First, if it's up to me to keep in God's love, how do I do it? God is love, which means he is kind to both good and bad, to both his people and his enemies. His love reaches out to the whole world. He offers it to all and he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That offer is to everyone. It shows kindness to both evil and bad. He's kind to both, good and bad, and he also loves his enemies. He has saving love, which is we see in John 3:16. You all know John 3:16. His love is committed to his people, those he saved in Jesus. But he also disciplines those he loves. By his Spirit, we see his love when he says he loves you and he loves me. Can you slip out of God's love? Answer, no. Jesus says, if you remain in my love, you will remain in me. if you obey my commands, that is, we need to be careful. We need to carefully think through God's love. Jesus is very clear. You remain in my love if you obey my commands. So how do we keep ourselves in God's love? Remember, obey, and reflect. When you're tempted to doubt his love, keep in mind his overwhelming love for you in Jesus. We are not loved by earning God's favor. His love for us has been revealed in his incomparable riches of grace in Jesus. Look at the cross and see how much God loves you when you doubt. John 15, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Acts of disobedience brings discipline from God. If you love someone, don't do what offends them. Don't do what annoys them. Practicing your singing in the middle of your night at your house will not make a happy house. They may not stop loving you, but that will definitely bring some conflict at some point. In that situation, you'll be grieving the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Reflect Jesus to others. Keep yourself in the love of God, and others will see the love of God. A bit like the verse that Luke was showing us earlier. If you keep the Lord Jesus, others will see it in you. Look with me at verse 21. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. To keep fit, you will need to wait. Now, waiting might be an area that where most of us struggle with. I'm not very keen on waiting. It's a struggle for most of us. Some of us may be waiting for that appointment. Some of us may be waiting for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a new job, an appointment, or for someone to turn to Christ. Learning to wait needs exercising. The problem with waiting, it looks like it's a waste of time. We see it as something to endure, but God sees it as an opportunity to grow us in trusting him. Waiting is never wasted time with God. Grow in your waiting as you face disappointments in 2024. Our dreams in this life will not all be fulfilled on earth. Paradise, heaven, is not now. You will not find heaven or paradise on this earth. Not even Silver Street is paradise. Grow in hope as you anticipate his return. Wait in anticipation of our Lord Jesus to bring us to eternal life, especially in our greatest disappointments. How do we keep spiritually fit? Look with me at verse 22 to 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by their corrupt flesh. Church family, what are we to do as we wait? What are we to do? We are to be merciful as we wait. This is what we should be doing. Merciful, on mission. We need to be intentional. Some are so good at being mission-minded. Some are already really active in this. Christian lives are not just about us and Jesus, but others too. From verse 22 to 23, we see three types of people. We see those who doubt, we see those in the fire, and we see those stained by corrupt flesh. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the answer to all those three, all those problems. But we have to be dependent on his Spirit to solve those problems. He gives discernment and wisdom. Be merciful to those who doubt. Be merciful to those who doubt. Thank you. This is our ministry. They're unsure. We have some of those here this morning. How do we reach them? By being merciful. Not those who refuse to believe in our Lord Jesus. Not those who blatantly say, no, I'm having nothing to do with that. That's not what he's telling us here. He's telling us to be merciful to those who doubt. Thank you. Those who doubt. Don't expect God to work in 1 week what took him 20 years in you to snatch you from that fire. God says, sin has done great damage to our lives. Sin is like a picture of a Christian pulled from the fire of sin, snatched by the Lord Jesus from that fire. Be grateful. Our ministry flows from gratitude towards God, what God has done. Church family, the good news is God uses burnt up, snatched sticks. Have you ever been referred to that? A burnt, snatched stick. That's what we were all. We have to have compassion, humility, and gratitude because God has shown us compassion and mercy and shown us true humility. You can't do ministry without being snatched out. Remember, dangerous people have got into leadership positions in the church. Look with me, verse 4. They are godless, immoral, and deny Jesus Christ as our only sovereign Lord. They don't deny Jesus by denying his sovereignty. They do not accept Jesus. We see in verse 12. Look with me, verse 12. They are clouds without rain, trees without root, stars without light. Their message doesn't lead to the truth. As it says from verse 20 to 21. But you, dear friends, when you were waiting, watch yourselves to others, show mercy mixed with fear. Careful you don't fall into the same sin as those you are reaching out and fall in with false ministry. So why watch? Because other people have fallen. What sin do you think may not affect you and me? So how do we keep watch? By even hating the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. Do you recognize the danger of infection in this world? Is there any evidence of corruption in you? Are you diluting his word to fit in? Use a friend, parents maybe, your wife, your children, to help you examine yourself. Maybe one of the elders. Are you involved in crude conversations? Unclean jokes. Oh yeah, you Google along with those jokes. Gossip. Bitterness. Pride. Hate. Knocking people down. Joking. On expense of others. You need to hate sin. Hate sin is what it says on there. I'm not making it up. But how do we do that? By seeing what sin did to the Lord Jesus on the cross. The important thing is doing and not just knowing. Knowledge without action is useless. Just knowing it in your head, absolutely useless. But doing it with his help is good. We are to pursue action in God's triumphant victory. He is able to keep you from falling and present you with no fault. Be confident in him, but also careful. Look with me at verse 24 to 25. God is able to keep you from stumbling, who can present you without fault. Verse 25. To the only God and Savior be glory. Our God, our Savior, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have done this for you and me. God, our Savior, he has done it. The God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. God through whom salvation is ours. There is only one God, as Jude says. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the only God who came through Jesus. So, how does God save you and me? How is he savior? Through Jesus. No more condemnation. Freed from sin and its power. Able to keep you from falling when? When you're about to fall. Even if you're about to fall like Peter did, he will lift you up. Your body will be presented without fault, with great joy in God himself, rejoicing through Jesus Christ. As I finish, I want to read you a Christmas card my daughter Chloe received from a friend. And this is what it said. To Chloe, Merry Christmas. Dear Chloe, you are confident, it says here, in everything you do. You are smart. You are brilliant. You are beautiful. You are amazing. You can do anything. Just be yourself. Merry, 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 merry Christmas from Kutika. I saw that and I thought, Kutika, you're well off. No, it's not funny, church family. Kutika is well off. Who is able to present you without fault? Who is it? What was that? Jesus. Does it sound like Chloe has no fault? No, it doesn't. She says, be yourself. Chloe and herself is useless. She's no good to anyone. Where is she? Somewhere. Chloe will tell you herself, there is no way Chloe can present herself before God and say, I can present myself because I'm good, because Kutika says so. Absolutely waste of time. Church family, if you're here today and you think you can present yourself before God because of something that you think you're good at, or you think, oh no, my sins are not that bad, or you're well off, you're as well off as Kutika. Do you see what happened? Jesus wouldn't need to come if we were all like this. But Jesus came because there was a massive problem with sin. What does it say here? He's able to present you without fault. I've flicked my page. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before our glorious presence without fault, with great joy, with no fault. Do you know why? Because all your faults, all your sins were laid on Jesus when he died in your place. And that offer of faith, that offer of eternal life is available for you today. As we come to 2024, there is one less year for you to accept the free gift of being presented with no fault. One less time. I don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. None of the elders know either. None of your Christian friends know when the Lord Jesus comes. Could be this week. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you need to turn and throw away Kutika's card. Because Jesus has stepped in your place and paid for all your sins. So, how will we keep ourselves spiritually fit this year? Build yourself up in your most holy faith through his help. Pray in the Spirit through his word. Keep yourself in God's love. As you remember, you are a bent up, snatched stick. How do you do it? Through his help. And if you're not a Christian, I beg of you, I urge you to look to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you before his presence with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, we will stand to sing the song that appears on the screen.